get started here tonight. If you take your 101, I think the 101. 101 hymn books, and we'll start on page.
They
gathered them up. Okay, let's go to plan B.
I don't know what plan B is, but we'll do it.
Yeah, let me do that. Page number 58
in this one. He's feeling good. He can run right up and do it, but if he has to do something, you can miss it.
Sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all my worry is vain. Amen. Thank the Lord that we can trust Him, that we can go to Him no matter what. Brother Joe, can you open us up in prayer, brother, this evening, please?
Eternal Father, thank you, Lord, for another gracious day you've given to us, O Lord God. We thank you we can come into your house and worship your dear Son, Lord God, because it's Him why we have our salvation, for what He has done for us, O Lord, on Calvary's cross. What a great price He paid to secure our salvation, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Jesus, for coming. And we just thank you for all you'll do for us each and every day, Lord. Let us be faithful to you, because you have been faithful to us, O Lord God. Father, we ask that you give the pastor all the words he needs to say to us, O Lord God, that we would be blessed, fed, strengthened, and enriched in your word, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Y'all may be seated. So just a quick few announcements that we mentioned this morning. For those that weren't here this morning, back there on that the blue love offering box is a survey for the service times for the evening. So if you'd like to fill one out, just check what time you'd like. Or if you don't like the times that are on there, write down another time. And then just slip it inside that blue box. I already picked up quite a few in there from this morning. So I think almost everybody said put something in this morning. We're close to it. So just check off the mark what you would like. Just drop it in that blue box. I'll pick up the rest this evening. And then we'll do it again next Sunday, because there were some people that weren't here this morning that would like maybe to fill it out. So we'll do it again next Sunday. And then we'll gather them together and see what the majority says and what time. Also, Brian and Erica are getting married April 17th. And they wanted me to let you all know again that everybody's invited to the wedding. It's Saturday, April 17th at 1 p.m. Up here, we have a sign-up sheet if you plan on coming to the wedding and then staying afterwards for the food. They ask you to sign up there on that sheet to let them know that you'll be here for the food, so that they have a sort of an idea of how much meat and food to order and make for the reception afterwards. Also, Brother Jeffcoat will be up with us Sunday, April 11th, and he'll have the Mondays or the Sunday morning service. Our induction service will also be Sunday, April 18th at 2:30 in the evening, or in the evening, in the afternoon. So that's what I have in the back of my mind that I can think of now that I have written down. Is there any other word on Miss Sister Alita? Nothing at all. So continue to keep Miss Alita Harris in prayer. She's back in the ICU, her body seems to be rejecting the transplant. So just keep her in prayer, the doctors, and also her husband and children, and just a difficult time that they're going through today, that God would just meet them where they're at. And I believe that's it. So in the 101 hymn book, let's go to page number 72. Page number 72.
Come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry. I, your Lord, will bear. Bring me out.
going to switch over to the blue hymn book because I'd like to sing this song. Page number 673, When We All Get to Heaven. Page number 673 in the blue hymn book. And if you're able to stand, we'll sing this song here, When We All Get to Heaven. Amen.
My old pastor was with me, and we were there, and there was a bad lightning storm, and anyways, the lightning struck the poles or whatnot, and the lights went out, and I said, wow, this is a pretty bad lightning storm, you know, and then all of a sudden, I look in the sky, and it just starts opening up, just this light just starts opening up, and I'm thinking, hey, what is that, and all of a sudden, it's like, this is it, like, we're going home, and I start going up into the sky, and all of a sudden, I come back down again, and I woke up. But I was so excited. I was like, I was just blown away. Like, look at this in the sky. And I was looking at, trying to find my pastor saying, look. I was like, this has got to be the Lord coming back. And just the excitement of just knowing that someday those clouds are going to open up. Someday those clouds, brethren, someday the clouds are just going to open up. And in a twinkling of an eye, in an instant, in a moment, we're going to be changed. And he's going to catch us up in the air to forever be with him. And if that don't get you excited, I don't know what will.
Come on.
Someday. Look, we have victory in Jesus. When we all get to heaven someday. There's a lot in this, you know. There's just been a lot of heavy things going on lately. Even in this church. Just a lot of heaviness. Just a lot of heaviness the last 2 months. 3 months. It's been a while. Just a lot of heaviness. But through the heaviness, we can know that someday, we're going home.
Yeah.
Someday we're going home. Someday, if we're alive and he comes through those clouds, there ain't no HDTV can ever portray anything like that. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. There's no words to describe the rapture of Christ's church. And I'm looking forward to it someday. I'm excited for it. I'm excited that someday the Lord's going to call us home to forever be with Him. Amen. You come on up here with me. My daughter's going to, I don't know if she's nervous, but she's going to do a special with us up here. I need to. You didn't see that. Page 218. Okay, thank you. Stop.
Did that night of the dream wasn't the night you had that jalapeno salad?
Was it?
See Jesus come.
again.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. You get discouraged. If you're honest, you get discouraged. You look around, others can seem to do whatever they want to do, and it seems they prosper, it seems they nothing goes wrong, it seems like they're unmolested and nothing ever happens to them. And it just seems like if you're a believer, it just seems sometimes like nothing can go right, everything goes wrong, but it's for God's glory and God's honor. Because farther along we'll know all about it, farther along we'll understand why. And then I love in his hymn where his brother says, cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. Live in the sunshine. We can live in the sunshine, even though outside right now the weather's not too good. It's raining out, might even get a little worse this evening. We can live in the sunshine of the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. We can live in the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, right? And we can cheer up, we can be happy, we can have joy, though everything around may be bleak and hopeless. Someday Jesus is coming back. Someday the Lord's going to call us home, as I said earlier. Someday the Lord is coming back to take his bride away. He cares about his bride. The Lord cares about his bride. Anybody that's been married or has had a bride, and congratulations to Brother Craig and Sister Kathy, 51 years of marriage, glory to God, something that's basically almost unheard of today, somebody staying married for 51 years, but glory to God for that. Brothers and sisters, congratulations, and thank you for your testimony and your faithfulness through the years. It needs to be seen. It can be done. It can be done, right? Commitment. Marriage is all about commitment and just staying faithful and commitment. Commitment, commitment, commitment. And 51 years, that's a long time of commitment. So glory to God for that. If you take your Bible this evening, we're going to continue on in 1 Thessalonians. I needed this evening. I don't know about you, but I needed this evening. I needed a song service. I could just go home right now with that. It was a blessing. At least it was a blessing to my soul. Just to refocus and realize that we have a Savior that loves us and cares for us, and he's not blinded, he's not deaf to what we go through. I'm glad I serve a God that's not an idol. I'm glad I serve a God that's not just a statue on my mantle on my fireplace. I'm glad I'm not serving a God that's sitting in my front yard and I'm the one that put it there. Right? I'm glad I don't serve a God that I have to fall down and worship or rub his feet or rub his belly. And that's who I serve. That's my God, the one that I created, the one that I formed with my own hands, and I set him there. I'm glad I serve a living God who sees, who knows, who hears, who cares about what's going on in my life. And not only in my life, in everyone's life that's saved. He cares and he knows. And that's amazing. He knows what's going on in your life today, and he cares for you, and he loves you, and he's there for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, we're going to pick up in verse number 7. No. Yeah, verse number 8. We read verse number 7 last week, but for context, I'm going to start in verse number 2. Paul says to those in Thessalonica, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And the reason I'm starting earlier in the chapter is because verse 8 kind of talks about verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, For our God came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You see, this just jumped out to me here. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Okay, a lot of false churches, a lot of false cults. They'll say you take like I forget which one it is, but the plates, Mormonism, the plates came down or whatever, and how high they were, and Moroni, an angel came and appeared to Joseph Smith. I'm forgetting my memory if it's the wrong name, but he appeared to Joseph Smith, and then the religion of Mormonism came into existence. But what I'm thankful for and what I love about the Bible and true Christianity is that God was manifest in the flesh. He became a man in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and he touched the lives of those that were around him. Muhammad didn't do that. Muhammad didn't go around and the Lord help him to heal people that were lame, or to give the deaf to where they can hear, or those that couldn't speak the power to talk, or to raise the dead from back to life again. No other religion claims anything like that. None that I know of. Yet Christianity, true biblical Christianity, just didn't come in word only. An angel appeared to me and told me to give this to you. No, true Christianity in the New Testament had power behind it, and individuals could see the power behind that. And that's what God desires for us today, is to not just have a gospel of word only, but also power through and in the Holy Ghost. He says here in verse number 5, the latter part, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Verse number 6, and ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now tonight, verse number 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the songs. Lord, these precious hymns. Lord, that we can just sing out to you. We can glorify you. We can get encouraged. And know, Lord, that you know what's going on in our life. Lord, you're there for us. All we have to do is just cry out to you, Lord. And we know by what your word says that you hear us. Help us to walk in the light of that. Help us tonight as we look at these few scriptures. Help us to glean something from your word that would encourage us, that would help us to just draw closer to you in these last days. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse number 8, Paul continues on. And he says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Their testimony, and how they, as he goes on to say, how they turned from God and the idols, and the things which they suffered, was a testimony not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul says you had a great influence upon the brethren in Macedonia and Achaia, so much that you were an ensample to them. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, he says now in verse 8, he said, your faith is spread everywhere. He said, it is spread abroad so that we don't have to say anything about the brethren in Thessalonica. Paul says, when I go into another town, I don't even have to speak nothing about the church in Thessalonica. Your life speaks for itself. I don't have to say anything. And you're an encouragement to others. Take your Bible, and I know I believe we glanced at it last week, but flip back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. In Thessalonica, Paul talks about Macedonia and Achaia, and how those in Thessalonica had a testimony that they were in samples to those that believed in those areas. And you can kind of find that in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 17 is when he goes to Thessalonica, and then afterwards he goes into Corinth. And it's believed that while in Corinth, he wrote the letter to Thessalonica. But here we, and I went over this, I don't know if it was last week, but again here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." All right, and we looked at that before, but basically, Paul's saying that even in Corinth, he's talking about the testimony of Macedonia and how those in Macedonia were willing to give even out of their deep poverty, and they had great riches of their liberality, even though that they didn't have hardly anything at all. They had hardly nothing. And brethren, you know, we got to make a decision here soon, and I continue to pray about it and ask God for wisdom and guidance in it concerning Pastor Reddy. But if you're reading your Bible, and I hope he's reading his Bible as a pastor, when you look at Macedonia, they were able to give through great trial of affliction out of their deep poverty. Now, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. I'm not one to ask for money. I'm not going to ask for money. I will not do that. By God's grace, I hope to. I'm never going to push money. I don't believe in that. I believe God will take care. Now, walking in that, sometimes you get in your mind, okay, big boy, you got to practice what you preach. But I'm not all about this money thing. I'm not. And because I don't like when it was done to me. Okay? And so I'm not going to beg the church for money. I'm going to try. By God's grace, I believe I ought to live as an example as a pastor. I'm going to try to go to the Lord and tell the Lord, and then let the Lord meet the needs by God's grace. And if I got to go get a job, then I'm going to go get a job. But that's how I believe as a pastor, because you need to be an example to the flock of God. Okay? When you're begging somebody for money and you keep asking for money, and it seems like everything revolves around money, and then you're taking personal loans from individuals that, to me, sound kind of sketchy. There's issues. And the reason I say all that, to bring this back to, what do you find in the Bible? What do you find in the Bible? Give me Bible on it. I want Bible. And what I find in the Word of God here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul tells the church there, he says, about those in Macedonia, he says that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Paul's saying the poorer they got, the more willing they were to give. Which makes no sense logically in our mind. And we kind of looked at that before. I'm not going to keep looking at this and going over it. But I take those things into account when dealing in certain situations. Especially when you're supposed to be an example to the flock. And what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, they were willing to give through great trials of affliction. Be willing, Paul says to them in 1 Thessalonians, you can flip back over there. He says there in verse number 8, he says that from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to who? To Godward. See, we ought to place our faith and trust in God. If I place my faith and trust in the church cannot or may not always be there to help me when I need help. And I talked about it last week when there's only so much and so far that individuals can help one another. It can only go so far. Our faith and our help needs to be to Godward. And he says when it's that way, that's going to spread abroad everywhere. When you can place your complete faith and trust in God and know that he hears you, then he'll take care of the details. What does the Bible say to be content with? Food and raiment. Let us therewith be content. The Bible doesn't even promise, in the New Testament, it doesn't even promise shelter. You're not going to find a New Testament where God says, I will give you shelter. But he will say, food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Food, we have food and we have clothes on, God's done his part. So, imagine you walking with the Lord as those in Thessalonica. And those in Thessalonica, however they were living, had an effect on those in Macedonia. And those in Macedonia and Achaia said, we can do something for God. Even in our deep poverty, there's something that we can do for the Lord. There's some way we can help. And it might not have been in what they could give monetarily. It might have been that they just were prayer warriors. That they got a hold of what Paul was preaching and they started walking in the light of what Paul preached and what they had in Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And they were an example through that, through their work of faith, through their labor of love and their patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, back there in verse number 3. And people took notice of that. You know, a lot of people don't want to come to church because most churches talk about money. Money, money, money. You know, we pass the plate. And I'm so thankful for this church. When I heard and I learned that it doesn't pass the plate, glory to God. That's the last thing I want to do in church is to pass the plate. Because I've been in churches before. I grew up in churches that pass the plate. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I didn't have nothing to give. And sometimes you felt pressure to give because you felt if somebody saw the plate pass in front of you and you never put nothing in it, then you're going to feel pressure. That's not of God. God will never put pressure on you to give. Or the Lord may put pressure on you to give because you ought to be given. I'm talking about as far as a pastor in the church. A person should never feel pressure from a pastor or the brethren to give. That should only come from God. Between them and God. So I say all that to say that when you have a heart and a desire to live for God and you're willing to go through afflictions, and as you go through those afflictions, you're going to have joy, and they see your work of faith and your labor of love, just being there for somebody. Just being there to pray for them. Like I said before, if God lays somebody on your heart, to give them a call, to call them up and see how they're doing. If God lays on your heart to write a missionary a letter, write them a letter. That goes so often so farther than what we think money can do for us. Look, God doesn't need our money. God, when that widow woman came through, she put in 2 pence, and that was all her living. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ put the emphasis on. He said, you see her? She's given more than all these other Pharisees, all this religious crowd that's walked past the treasury. She's put more in than the rest of them. You know why God put the emphasis on it? Because she gave herself and all that she had. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want you to go to your bank account tomorrow and just dump all your money into the church. No, God wants you. And when God has you and God has your heart and when God has your love and your devotion and your meditation upon him, when God has all that of you, he ain't worried about the money because the money don't fall into a proper place. Everything else will fall into its proper place when the Lord has you. When he has you, everything will be perfect in your life in the sense that you can rest in God. You can rest in him. You don't have to worry about anything because he's your all in all. So back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 here and verse number 8. He says that they sounded out the word all through the whole area. And he talks about in verse number 9 here, he says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There was a cost to these brethren here in Thessalonica because of where they lived. Take your Bible and look over in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 1. He says to them, how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So when Paul comes into Thessalonica and begins to give the gospel and preach there in their synagogues, the Bible says he was there 3 Sabbath days, and he reasoned with them about what the scriptures say about Christ. Well, when he does this, there's some there that believe and they consort with Paul and Silas, and a great multitude begins to follow what Paul's preaching. Well, the Jews, the Bible says in verse 5, the Jews move with envy. They cause a great uproar in the city, so much so that they go in and they draw Jason and certain brethren out of the houses because they couldn't find Paul and Silas. Can you imagine that, if that occurred here? To where they realize that we're preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden the city's in an uproar, and they're drawing some of us out of our homes and taking us to the leaders of the city and saying these men have turned the world upside down. In one way, it's a good thing. They turned the world upside down without technology. They didn't need the internet. They didn't need television. They didn't need the radio. They didn't have any of that. And they were able, by their testimony, to turn the world upside down. There was a saying in the Voice of Martyrs when I was reading through it one time, and it says something, and I don't know if some missionary said it or some brother in the Lord, but it said, our seed is blood. It's been said that when Christians are persecuted and authorities and governments try to stamp out Christianity, the more it seems to grow like wildfire. I've heard that numerous times, that the more it just seems like it just, woof, like it just catches on fire and spreads. Why? Because people see. People see a true testimony. You know, today I've heard preachers say that, there's a lot of people in churches today that aren't even saved. Because everything's been watered down, and we're like living in this gray area. Instead of things being black and white, it's just this gray mixture area. And back then, if you were a Christian, it was going to cost you. And you're going to look at this and you're going to make a decision real quick whether you're going to believe what Paul said. Well, you may believe it. You're going to think twice, though, before you follow it. Because you're going to realize, well, if I follow this, there's a chance they might pull me aside and start beating me. Because that's exactly what they did to Paul, as you read on there through verses 15. They caused some problems as you go through chapter 16 and 17 with Paul. Read through the book of Acts. But those in Thessalonica that we read here in chapter 17, they got a hold of something. And they began to turn from their idols unto the living God. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter number 17. They turned from idols to the living God. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 22. Paul's now in Athens. And it says in Acts chapter 17 verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We're never going to live on Mars. The Bible says here that God has set the bounds of their habitation. Now, somebody might lie to us and say we're living on the moon, but the Bible says he set the bounds of their habitation. I personally don't believe man's going to get off this planet and go live somewhere else. God set the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him. Look what it says, though he be not far from though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Look at verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and the woman named Damaris, and others with him. So Paul goes into Athens, and he talks to them about their altars, about their idols, about their altar that they had to the unknown God, and he gives them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he tells them that they need to repent, because God at one point winked at their ignorance. We talked about it this morning, that God might show grace and mercy for a little bit with us, to help us to grow, to help us to get where we need to be. But at some point, God's going to say, okay, now you need to take what you've got and you need to walk with it now. And you need to grow in it. And it's kind of the same principle he's talking to them there in Athens, Paul is. And he says, God knew that you in ignorance did these things. God knew that in ignorance you were serving these idols and you were worshiping them. But now the truth has come to you. He says, you had an altar there to the unknown God. I'm here to tell you about that unknown God that you don't know about. God sent me to you to give you the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ and how he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day, and he's coming some back someday to judge the world. And he's commanding all of you to repent. That's what Paul's telling them there in Athens. And he's saying, now you're accountable. You're accountable now because you know the truth. What are you going to do with the truth? And the Bible says some mocked him. They made fun of him. They laughed at him. Said, you're crazy. Get on out of here with this resurrection nonsense. You're telling me a man died and he rose up out of the grave and now he's going to judge me? And they mocked him, the Bible says. And another said, that's pretty good. Come back sometime and I'll listen some more what you got to say about this Jesus. And we'll hear you again on this matter. And then others, they clave on to Paul. And they clave on to the brethren, and I believe they claved on to the word of truth that was preached unto them. There's three groups of people here. Ones that mock, ones that say, that's pretty good what you're saying. Someday I'll hear you again on this matter. And then there's others that just grab a hold onto it and latch onto it. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to not mock it. He doesn't want us to say, well, I'll hear you again on that another time. Just come back another time. No, we need to be ones that just stick on to what God's given to us in his word. And that's exactly what happened in Thessalonica. They turned from their idols unto the true and living God, and it was a testimony to all those that were around them. They had a desire now to serve the living and true God. I'm going to close with these scriptures here this evening. To serve. They had a desire to serve. To serve God first. And when you serve God first, I believe then you'll have a heart to serve others. After we turn to God for salvation, it is imperative, it is so important now that we have a servant attitude. It's vital. I believe it's one of the most important things in the Word of God. There's a lot of things you can learn in the Bible historically. There's a lot of things you can learn the Bible stories in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. But I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, that God desires for us to have a servant attitude. Take your Bible and look at John chapter 12 and verse number 23. Those in Thessalonica had a servant attitude. And that servant attitude was a testimony not only to those believers in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. This servant attitude, this faith that they had towards God, was spread abroad. Look at John chapter 12, verse number 23. John chapter 12 and verse number 23. John 12, 23. This is when Jesus has just entered into Jerusalem the week before he's crucified. And he says here in John chapter 12 and verse number 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Now, I want you to realize something real quick what the Lord's talking about here. You're gonna be lonely. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials in your mind if everything revolves around you and how you feel. Because look what the Lord says in verse 24. There's many ways to look at it, but he says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it goes into the ground, it bringeth forth much fruit." You want much fruit in your life. You want the fruits of the Spirit to be exhibited in your life. You must die to self. You have to. There's no way to exhibit love when love should not be exhibited other than for you to die to self. There's no way for you to show charity to the person that is grating on your nerves, that gets underneath your skin, unless you're able to die to yourself. Because when you're dead to yourself, they can do whatever they want to you. It doesn't matter how your reaction's then going to be back to them, because you're dead to yourself. So it's almost as if you're put on a cross daily. You die to self. And what more can they do to you that you're already dead to yourself? It can't affect you no more. And therefore, then you can let Christ live through you, that love can be shown, that temperance can be shown, that faith, that goodness, that meekness, that can be shown through your life, because you're on that cross. You're dead to self. Christ can now live through you, and it matters. It matters not what anybody does back to you, because Jesus Christ is living through you. He says in verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." But what does God ask us to hate? Jesus says here, "And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man," verse number 26, "if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." You want honor from the Father? Serve Jesus Christ. Be a servant. I don't know about you, but I want, as much as in me, I was thinking at it before I came to church tonight. I said, "Lord, just someday, God." And you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes you just feel like you always let God down. And it's a desire of my heart, and I know there's lots of times I let God down, but it is a desire of my heart. I don't want to get to heaven someday and not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And it's times it's like, "Lord, I know you have to put up with me. And God, I know I let you down a lot. And Lord, I know that I don't always do what you want me to do, but God, help me, Lord. Help me someday, by way of the rapture, by way of the grave, Lord, that someday when I stand before you, Lord, that I'll hear those words, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" I'm not worried about the treasure. In this sense, I'm not going to heaven because of what heaven may be and what I can get from God. I'm going to heaven because of, I want to go to heaven someday because I want to see the one who loved me and the one that died for me. And I said it earlier, if Jesus Christ wasn't in heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven. If he wasn't there, it wouldn't be heaven. I want to see him and look upon his face. See the one that died for me. See the one that loves me. See the one that the one in all of creation and universe, the one that loves me and cares for me and dies for me. And so often, the more I think about that, the more I can't stand myself. And the times that I let my Savior down. And it's during those times that, Lord, please forgive me. God, help me to be what you want me to be, all that you want me to be in this life, so that someday when I get to heaven, I don't look back on regret and say, oh, how much I wish I could go back and redo it. You and Ellie were talking earlier after the service this morning, talking about playing the piano. And a thought got in my head, I didn't voice it, but the thought came in my head, oh, how much I wish I could go back and be 9, 8, 9, 10 years old again and put emphasis in learning an instrument. And that's just a little small thing. I regret that I can't play something like that like Brother Jason can play. What a wonderful thing it would be to be able to put into music your heart and your thoughts towards God. And I know he's expressed that before. When he's playing, he's playing it out to the Lord. What glory and honor you can give by being able to do something with a musical instrument. And you say, well, preacher, I can't play nothing. Yeah, but you have a life you can live. You have a life you can live. And as long as you're breathing, there's purpose, there's something that God has for here that he wants you to get that would bring glory and honor to him. Don't flush it down the toilet. Don't waste the time. Redeem the time for the days of evil. Redeeming the time. And I'm preaching as much as I am to the church as I am to myself. God, help me to redeem my time. That someday when I get to heaven, Lord, I know I'm already going to have some regrets. Lord, help me to make them as few as possible from this point forward. That I don't regret that I did that I just didn't do more for the Lord while I was here. And it's not about busy activity. It's not about busy activity. You can fool yourself with busy activity. Why, I've handed out 100 tracts today and I talked to 10 people today about the Lord. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you wanting to love him. And like I said, when you want to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything will fall into its proper timing and place. Brethren, it's all about timing. It's not about busy activity. And you have to learn to be flexible. You're going to walk with the Lord. You have to learn to be flexible. You can't be just rigid. It's got to be this way, this way, this way, and this way. And if it's not this way, this way, I can't handle it. No, no, no. You got to learn to flex. Because you don't know what might be coming next. And everything is timing. Playing a piano, there's timing involved in it. For lack of better illustrations, in comedy, there's timings on jokes. In baseball, there's timing with pitchers and batters. In your car that you're getting ready to drive home here soon, there's timing, and if the timing is off in a car just a little bit, it'll destroy the engine. Timing and flexibility. You have to be able to flex a little. You have to be able to give and go a little. Because it's required in the Christian walk. If you can't give and flex a little bit, you're going to crack. You're not going to be able to deal with the things that come across in life. Because if everything's got to be so, and when it gets out of that, you can't have that. And the military is a perfect example of that. A fighter jet pilot, or a soldier, or a law enforcement officer, a police officer, a firefighter, they all have to be able to flex. Because if they can't flex, they're not going to survive. So we need to be able to flex. We need to be able to move as the Lord directs and guides. And if it's not the way that we're used to it being going, maybe it's because the Lord's trying to help us to learn to grow and to be able to flex and have the ability to be able to roll with the punches, so to speak, because God's trying to do something. The Lord wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of him and to be ready always to give an answer of every man that asks us of the hope that's in us. Well, it's not my timing. I'm not in church, so I shouldn't be able to talk to them. No, it might be in the least opportune time. God's saying, stop. Now I want you to talk to this individual. But I got this appointment that I got to go to. And it, see, are you on God's timing or is it your timing? That's a lot of stuff, brother. That's doctrine right there. That's sound doctrine, and that's what we're missing today. We're missing sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God. We're missing sensitivity to when God speaks to us, because we're so set. I'll talk about myself. I'm so set in my schedule. That's my personality. I like things to be deep. That's how I am. I like things clean. I like things neat. I like things orderly in their proper place. And I've had to learn to grow through the years that if there's trash there and I can't get to it, I can't get to the laundry right now, or I'm not talking about what. And if things aren't the way they are, I had to learn through the years to be able to just flex. You won't make it on the mission field if you can't flex. Because things aren't always in line like they need to be. But that's what God wants sometimes. God wants me to rely on Him and not my own little thing and how I got things set up. God gets in those types of things. Paul, having a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. That's what I desire for each and every one of us. That we would love Him and have a sensitivity to His voice. To where when the Lord says, speak, in that still small voice, you say, yes, Lord, I'll speak now. And when the Lord says in that still small voice, don't say nothing at all. You listen to Him and you don't say nothing at all. Having that walk with God and not just busy work. They turned to their idols unto the true God that had a desire to serve the Lord. And we'll close on Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 24. Jesus said that if you want honor from the Father, learn to be a servant, as He was our great example of servanthood. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 24. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 24. There is no verse 24 in Colossians chapter 2. Ah! Colossians chapter 3. Aha! Let's see. That's one of those times where that's where you got to learn to flex. Serious. There are times where you start sweating. You ever preach or teach? You know what I'm talking about. If you ever preached or taught something before, or Colossians 3:23 or 2:24, and you're looking like, ooh, there's no 24. What am I supposed to do next? As I say, you have to look. I'm gonna be just honest with you. You have to forgive me because I can't talk right. And that's just something of how Chris Welton is. Even my old church, I've said some bad things behind the pulpit before, and I didn't mean to say them. I had my pastor in my office one time. I was telling Sister Kathy, yeah. And I was saying he has the men read in front of the church every morning before the Sunday morning service. We have a schedule, whatnot. And the men get up in the church, and they lead in one song. They pray, and they read one chapter out of the Bible. And he started that thing about 21 years ago. He started implementing that in Sunday morning services. And basically, that church down there has almost read through the whole Bible in 21 years. Every Sunday, they read a chapter. Well, it's my turn to get up and read the chapter. Bad stuff, bad. So when I mispronounced the stars this morning, that's just Chris. My wife said, you said Pilates. That's like a workout thing, ain't it? So look at Pilates in the sky. They're working out up there. She told me how to say it. I said, it's useless. It's useless to come up to me and say, Brother Chris, you shouldn't have said this, or you're butchering the English language. Yeah, I'm going to butcher it. I can't help it, especially when I get relaxed. I'm horrible with names. I put things into the Bible that aren't there, and I take things out that are there. And I don't mean to do it. It's just reading. And so I'm reading through the cities in the Bible. Well, I don't say city. I say something else. And my pastor was in there reading along in the office, and he said, he looked up like, what did he just say? And as I was reading, I said, did I just say what I think I said? I didn't look up at the congregation. I just kept reading because I knew if I looked up at the congregation, it's over. I'm done. I'm going to start laughing. And if they start laughing, you got to have a little humor. God's a God of humor. God's given us laughter. And if you can't laugh, then there's something deeper wrong if you can't laugh. Harlan Popov said this. You all know who Harlan Popov is? Harlan Popov, you should get his book. He wrote a book, Tortured for Christ. And he was, you know what I'm talking about, sister, brother? That book, that man went, but he wrote this book because he was tortured for Christ, basically for being a preacher during the Communist Party after they left out. They still suffered persecution. But he said one thing that he realized that when he was in prison and he was suffering for the Lord and other preachers and other brethren with him, he said he always knew when a man was getting ready to crack and just lose it. And he said when they couldn't laugh no more. He said in the most horrible circumstances in prison, they could always find something to laugh at. And he said he realized through the years that he was in prison that when a man was getting ready to crack, he was unable to laugh at some things anymore. You have to have the ability to laugh and be able to flex and to be able to relax. And when you can do those things, God can get in on something. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24 and verse 23. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. You see, God wants the heart. Do it from the heart. Whatever you do, tomorrow morning, if God shall allow you to wake up, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing this, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You see, brethren, it is the same all the way through in the sense of God always wants the heart. God says, just give me your heart. If I have your heart, everything else in life is going to find its proper and fitted place. When the heart. If I have your heart, I know I have you. And that's what a husband and wife need. That's what brethren need. If I know I have your heart and you have my heart, everything else will fall into its proper place. He says here to those in the church at Colossae, he says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing this, knowing that of the Lord, you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. Why? Because ye serve the Lord Christ. Having a servant attitude. Closing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we have need not to speak anything. For they themselves, those things that you do, brethren in Thessalonica, those things that you live, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, that it was profitable, that you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Right there, we're going to look at it later on, maybe Lord willing, next week, about the wrath to come and how we are not subject to the wrath to come. Yes. Right there is a perfect example. I'll give you a little tidbit. The Lord kind of put something in mind this week for those that believe that the church will go through the tribulation. Who's the head of the church? Christ. He's the head, right? If you go to Revelation chapter 6, who does the earth have to fear? The wrath of the Lamb. He will be pouring wrath on himself if the church is still here. Because he's the head of the church. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6 that the wrath of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ. The church can't be here. It's impossible because that wrath is from God on mankind. And it's coming from the Lamb of God. It says the wrath of the Lamb. So it'll be like Jesus pouring wrath on himself. Makes no sense. But that's again, you got to put all the Bible together. And here in Thessalonica, it says he saved us from the wrath to come. So the church isn't going to go through tribulation. That's just a little snippet before what we look at. We'll go a little more in depth next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I love them. I'm so thankful. God, there's just so much to be thankful for. Lord, you're precious, you're good, you're lovely, you're wonderful. Lord, there's nothing like you. And Lord, I pray you'd help these precious brethren. I pray you'd help myself, Lord, that if you allow us, Lord, your will, if we should wake up tomorrow morning, Lord, that and even through the rest of this day, Lord, that we would do everything heartily as unto you and not unto men. Lord, may we give you our heart, soul, mind, strength, everything we have, all our being, may we give it to you And as you are the potter, and we are the clay, Lord, may our lives be that clay that we allow you to mold and to shape and to move in whatever direction you would have us to move in. Lord, help me, Lord. I know there's times I can be rigid and times I can get upset because things don't go the way I want them to go. Lord, help me to learn to be more flexible for your glory, for your honor, for your praise, that men may see a difference. And Lord, that they might turn from their idols and turn to the true and living God, your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us now. I pray that you send everyone home with your blessings, Lord, that you would protect the brethren as they travel on the road. If it's raining out, keep us safe, Lord. And Lord, if you don't return, bring us back safely Wednesday evening. And Lord, we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. Love you. Hope you have a good rest of the good week. And Lord willing, see you Wednesday.